Welcome to the podcast of Thousand Harbors Zen, featuring talks with Cohen France. This podcast is made possible by generous donations from our listeners. To contribute or to learn more about our community, please visit thousandharborszen.com.
As most of you know, this weekend, we held these big opening ceremonies. There was a lot of preparation. And then on the day, it was a beautiful day, but also a really hot day. And I've been speaking Japanese for a few days now, and I'm tired. My brain is tired. And I was thinking about what to talk about tonight, and I thought, rather than try to fumble my way through some ancient text, I just want to try to speak from my heart and from my tired mind about community a little bit. We have the five remembrances. The five remembrances are a practice of addressing, of confronting, of keeping in our awareness those things that are inevitable. And so we notice I am of the nature to get sick, and so is everyone else. I am of the nature to grow old, and so is everyone else. I am of the nature to die, and so is everyone else. We say everything is of the nature to change. And then we notice that everything we do comes from something and results in something. The idea behind this teaching, behind the idea behind this kind of practice, is that when we take up not just the inevitable, but the things we would rather not look at, the truths that seem complicated or hard, when we really take them up, when we believe them, when we see them for what they are, we change our behavior to match them. So when we look at the impermanence of this life, when we see that we are the nature to get sick and to grow old and to die, we value things differently. We value others differently. We notice the improbability of being with another person in this moment. The fact that any of us meet at all is astounding, much less that we might meet and feel some shared understanding. When we really look at that, when we choose to look at that, something intimate happens because we bring something closer. When we look at just the basic fact of change, it brings us closer to this moment. We notice this moment in a different way, because we know that this moment will not last. We understand that the good things of this moment should be held now, because they're going to go away. And we recognize that the hard things about this moment, they're going to change as well. And so what feels tight about that can loosen. And of course, when we consider that our actions come from somewhere and that they cause something, we become a little more cautious, a little more respectful. We bring, the word in Japanese is hore, we bring a kind of etiquette into our lives. We treat things with care. We treat moments with care. Because when what we do matters, we should take care. These are the five. But if we think about things that are inevitable and we think about things that are unavoidable, of course, we're not limited to five. And what comes to mind to me right now, especially after this weekend, especially after sharing this weekend with all of you online and with all of you here in that way, is the inevitability of being with others. Yoshitani Roshi spoke to this a little bit on Saturday, that what the Buddha awakened to beneath the Bodhi tree, if we want to put a name on it, is that we are not alone and that we cannot be alone. That living and working and practicing alone is a fantasy. Of course, we can take up the practice of Zazen in our homes. Of course, we can imagine that we're doing this in this solitary way, this solitary heroic way, if we want. Right. Sitting in our cave, realizing the truth of something. But that's just a dream. Every breath we take is a breath that someone else breathed out. So alongside sickness, old age, death, change, consequences, we have this one. We say, I am of the nature to never, ever be alone. No one is of the nature to be alone. When we see that, when we confront that, it too changes our behavior. It has to. We recognize that our actions are not independent from others. We recognize that even when no one else is in the room, that everyone else is in the room. And so, in the same way, we take up a kind of etiquette. We start to notice what it feels like to practice with someone else. Part of the etiquette of a zendo, where we sit this way together, traditionally, is that if I'm sitting and facing the wall in Zazen, and the person next to me shows up to sit, when they bow to their cushion, I put my hands up like this. Part of this is just respect. But part of this is an invitation to not get in my head. I should notice that someone is there. At no point in one period of Zazen, or 10 periods of Zazen, or 7 days of Zazen, should I forget that someone is sitting next to me and that someone is sitting next to them. Here we've kind of, over time, I've introduced this little ritual, and then we lose it. Because the nature of these groups is the turnover is kind of high. And I always feel that if I keep saying these things, it's going to become a rule. It's going to lose that basic flavor, which is that, yes, we do it, but we don't do it so that we don't get in trouble. We do it because it matters that we're here with someone else. Here, in the way that we've come to do things, we have such a beautiful reminder that we're not alone. You know, most days, most mornings, I sit alone in this room, physically alone, but I've never sat alone. Putting aside the cosmic idea of sitting with everyone, I always have all of you on the screen. It's amazing to me. And I'll share a story that Jennifer shared with me, which is that after yesterday's sitting in the morning, Yoshitani Roshi sat with everyone. And he said a few words in the middle of Zazen. And then later, they were at a park, and he turned to Jennifer and he said, "So when I was talking, could everybody online hear me talking?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, he said, "Do you think they were okay with that?" And she had actually heard from a couple people who said that they kind of liked it. And she said, "Yeah, it was good." And he said, he said, "Maybe we should do this at my temple." And then he said, "Maybe we should become a branch temple of Sensoji. Become one of the harbors." That's beautiful. But in that is the recognition that because we have this camera, because we have this hookup. We can be reminded of the people who aren't in the room, right? We can bring in more and more. And in doing so, maybe safeguard against that delusion that we're doing this by ourselves. This weekend, the community came together and did more than it's ever done. We've always run in a very simple way. We find a small space, we come together, we sit, we hit a bell, and at the end we go home. This year we decided, let's do something a little more ambitious. Let's do something a little bit harder. Let's do something that requires teamwork. And we did, and the board was incredible. The board took up so much of this task. And we managed to host people from the other side of the world. We managed to put on ceremonies that very few places put on. And we managed to bring people together in a way that we never have. A day after we held a retreat and filled up the temple, the other temple, with many of you, we came here, and not only were the members of this community here, but the members of their community were here. Their partners were here. Their children were here. For the first time ever, we actively expanded our idea of who we are and who's included. Because of course, when you sit here, your partner is here, whether they came with you or not. Your children are here, whether they're with you or not. So we enacted that. It's beautiful, and I hope we can feel the weight of what that is. The weight of that shift. That's the first thing I wanted to say. The second thing is related, which is that though it's always a good day for us to be considering who we are as a community and how we function as a community, right now, in the moments following something big like this, something different like this, it's an especially good moment for us to reflect. Say, what are we doing and how do we do it? Dogen presents this beautiful image of lineage. He suggests that all of the teachers of the past are standing in a circle, all facing one another. But of course, that's not just about those teachers. It's not just about that lineage. That's us. All of us are standing in this circle, all facing one another, all able to see each other's faces. When we make this circle, the image that I get in my mind is that we're all poles in a circus tent. It's easy to imagine, though, if we follow that there's a central pole in that circus tent, and that pole is me. That I hold this thing up, and if I walk away, then the whole thing collapses. Many centers, many groups are established on that model. And so I want to take the opportunity to say, that's not how this works. It can't work that way. I can't be that central pole. I'm not even one of the other poles. All of you create this tent. I'm an elephant who comes in and does tricks and eventually leaves. And after me, maybe there's a lion. Wouldn't that be great? The tent is the container for that. The tent must be able to hold when the elephant leaves, when the tiger leaves, when the lion leaves. It has to be able to sustain itself when there's no show. I feel deeply after this weekend that this community has made a move toward that shape. I don't think we're there. I think it takes more time, it takes more thought, it takes more intention, more determination. But I feel that we got a taste of how stable this can be, how big a container it can be, if we want it to be. That is the power of building a temple. It's that someone can come in and someone can go back out, and the temple remains. We call this the temple because it has walls, but all of you are the temple. That's how it has always been. That's the only way it can be. I hope when you sit in this way, when you sit, whether you're looking through the screen or you're here in the room, I hope that you can feel the solidity of being a pillar, holding something up alongside others who are also pillars, who are also holding that same thing up. That's community. We hold each other up, and together we hold up something more. On one level, this is happening whether we ask it or not. But on another level, this is something we choose. It's something we notice. It's something we recognize. It's something we align ourselves with because we know it's happening, because we know we have no choice, because we know we cannot be alone. So why not embrace what it is to be together? And that's where I'll stop.
You have been listening to a Thousand Harbors Zen podcast. Please visit thousandharborszen.com.